Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You may not remember why you're here listening to this, and that's okay, because we'll help you figure it out as we go. I'm Cody Narvison, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Also here in spirit today, he bikes 20 miles to work uphill both ways, and he's our super producer. It's Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. And drumroll, please. That's kids spelled with a Z. Also with us today is a very special guest, further expanding the Emily's Family cinematic universe. Please welcome to the show, Ryan Suey. Ryan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's the last day of February as we record this, and I'm looking forward to March. I feel like I get like an extra jolt of energy when March rolls around for whatever reason. But yeah, excited to be here and excited to talk Hey Arnold with you guys. So.
Nice. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. I can already feel we're getting an extra jolt by having you on. It's great having you here. Before we get into the nitty-gritties of this week's episode, we do want to ask, as we ask all of our guests, just kind of what your background is with Hey Arnold. You know, if it was a childhood favorite, if it's one that you have maybe refound recently due to, you know, various worldly situations that may involve us gravitating toward our television or nostalgia over the last 3 odd years or so, not to be, you know, leading the witness here. Any sort of like memories or images that you have associated with the show, we would love to hear. So yeah, I don't know. How would you characterize your bandwidth with Hey Arnold?
Yeah, so Hey Arnold was like a little bit before my time, I feel like. I was born in 1997. And I know this show came out like that same year or close to it. So I was really, really young when it first came out. But I do recall, like, I don't know, it must have been the early 2000s where I was watching maybe reruns of the show with Emily. I only really remember, like, as a kid, one specific scene from a show. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this isn't even Hey Arnold. You guys can maybe correct me on this. But there's a scene in an episode where somebody flushes the toilet in a bathroom and it makes the hot water in the shower get super, super hot, and it like burns the grandpa or somebody. And that's, I don't know if that's Hey Arnold, but I think it is. I don't know. Can someone verify that?
Definitely happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't place the episode, but this
it was an episode.
Happened.
It was like, I don't think it was when Rhonda moved into the boarding house, but it was an episode like that, right? Like,
was it when Mitzi was in the boarding house? Grandpa's sister?
Oh, that's a pretty good thought.
I wasn't sure if it was something that like Ernie or Mr. Wynn were at odds with one another. I was thinking it was one of the boarders doing it, but it could have been the Mitzi episode. Wow.
I think it was Grandpa that got burnt, and I think he was singing "Oh My Darling" like he is when he's he's showering. So it definitely I will have to look up the actual episode. We've probably covered it already, but great memory of that scene.
I wanted to say it is the Mitzi episode because that's brother sister. Energy we have going
that's,
here.
That
anyway.
Sounds really right. Yeah,
and I do think that's right.
Yeah, so that's like the one memory I have as a kid is that specific scene. So that, I guess, taught me don't flush the toilet when someone's in the shower, but that's not even like a thing, I think. I don't know. Like if your plumbing's old, maybe that's a thing. But yeah, otherwise, I started watching some episodes when you guys started this podcast and really enjoyed those because I would watch an episode, listen to you guys, watch an episode, listen to you guys. So yeah, I've gotten into it a little bit since like the pandemic started. And that's about it. But yeah, growing up, I was more so like a SpongeBob SquarePants kid than a Hey Arnold kid. So,
attaway, good form. Really appreciate your kind words about Hey Arnold, about this podcast, and about 20th Century Plumbing, the holy trinity of topics to be sure. It's really great having you here, Ryan. I'm really excited for all the sorts of things that we'll dig into. And it should be noted that we are here today to talk about episode 87 of Hey Arnold. And for those of you keeping track at home, because I know you're out there, that's season 5, episode 7, going by production code order. We're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called Beaned. Original air date January 12, 2001. The Wikipedia sanctioned episode summary is as follows. When Helga gets hit with a baseball during a game, she develops a case of amnesia, so Arnold stays with her all day because he feels responsible. The next day, Helga regains her memories, though when she realizes what Arnold did for her, she decides to continue to play the part of an amnesiac in hopes of spending more time with him. So that is the summary for this episode. Quick shout outs to the folks who made this episode possible, including the director of this one, which was Frank Weiss, and Michelle Lamoureux, who wrote this one. Let's dig in, folks. Harry, we'll start with you. What did you think about Beaned?
Well, first of all, I remember distinctly that every house I grew up in until I was like 10 years old, if you flushed the toilet, the water would get, I think it's super cold, actually, and though I can't really remember now. Maybe it is super hot, but it was one of those things, and it was like literally just until I was like 10 years old. So I still have the thought that I cannot use the toilet if anybody's in the shower. It like hounds me to this day, even though I don't think I've lived anywhere where that's been a problem for 20 years or something. Anyway, that's not pertinent to this episode, which I liked a whole lot. I think longtime listeners will know that I love a Helga episode. I love an episode that is so Helga-centric that it sort of dispenses with even the like vague notion that that Arnold is the lead character of this show, right? Like, this is so clearly just a Helga POV episode. I found this episode really fresh. Maybe that's sort of like damning with low confidence or something like that. But like, this didn't feel like an episode we'd seen in earlier seasons of Hey Arnold. In fact, like specifically, it felt like a very distinctly season 5 version of Helga, in that Helga is actually actively trying to spend time with Arnold. She has sort of identified what she wants from Arnold, which is for him to pay attention to her and to like her, and she is actually actively trying to make that happen, albeit through her usual means. Whereas I feel like the season 1 Helga was very much more about like, she couldn't even really like bring herself to talk to Arnold without being mean, right? And she was more interested in sort of like finding ways to like collect artifacts of him that she could put in her shrine and sort of like worship him from afar. So I like this level of progress that we see from Helga. And I think that it's a weird thing to say in a show that is ostensibly about these two, but I feel like we don't get a ton of Arnold Helga episodes, right, where they occupy the same space and they are communicating with each other. And it might sound kind of weird to call this a Helga episode, or a Helga Arnold episode, because Helga's not really acting like herself around him until the very end, but I still found that energy really fun. And I really liked the sort of conclusion that Helga comes to, right? It's the same conclusion she came to when she was dressing up and acting like Lila, but here it's just sort of like she doesn't even want Arnold's not even interest in her, but attention that he pays to her to be sort of something that she is manipulating. She just wants it naturally, which is, again, you know, another step in the right direction. And maybe my favorite thing about this episode is kind of a an unusual one, I guess, but like, I kind of like to see Helga act kind of girly, like a girl with a crush, right? Especially around Arnold. I feel like that's not the way that Helga's crush manifests often. And it's sort of cool to see that version of it where she like really freaks out if Arnold does something nice for her, right? I think that's sort of unusual. And again, sort of evidence of a little bit of growth toward maturity. So yeah, I think I just really like this episode. I think it's really funny. I really love to hear Helga acting this way. As always, Francesca Marie Smith absolutely crushes it. It's really, really a funny comedic performance. And I'm really interested what everybody else thought as well.
Yeah, me as well. I realized towards the tail end of your points there, Harry, that I think last episode, which we may or may not have recorded yesterday, we were talking about how Dan Castellaneta can carry an episode by himself. Francesca Marie Smith can definitely do that. Was tap dancing circles around everybody this episode, I feel like. And you know who loves to tap dance? One Emily Sui. There's my segue. Emily, what'd you think of this episode?
Thanks for that, Cody. Public knowledge on my love of tap dancing. This episode, Beaned, which is kind of a funny name for this to be called, I thought it was all right, but I definitely like it a lot more now that I heard Harry give his whole take. I'm honestly just a little bit sick of talking about the character Helga Pataki, so I didn't have a lot of notes on this one. We've just talked about her ad nauseum. For years, and she's the star of the show, the antagonist. We love her. The most complex character in the series, but I just didn't write a whole lot of notes, and I kind of just let the episode happen and have more to say on the second episode. But I think that it's a unique take on her behaving a lot differently than she usually does, behaving so out of character towards Arnold, and I really liked what Harry was saying about the level of progress this episode portrays with her crush on Arnold, where she's actually addressing that she wants to spend time with him instead of just stalking him and adding new pieces of his gum to her Arnold shrine in her closet. So that's good. That's really good. And just, I hadn't even thought of it like that until you were saying that, Harry. But yeah, amnesia. We hate to have it. Happens, you know, I guess if you get hit in the head with a baseball and you're a cartoon character, or if you've had a few too many fireball shots or what have you. I also, one of my few notes I did write down is that I thought a lot about Stranger Things in this episode, because the dynamic that Helga brings, especially when she's playing into being a dumbass and pretending she doesn't know what life is around Arnold, just so he keeps, you know, spending time with her and taking care of her. The dynamic reminded me a lot of Elle and Mike in Stranger Things. And so, especially when she's like pointing to a window and looking at Arnold and being like, "What is this strange clear wall that is blocking outside?" And I'm like, oh gosh. I mean, it's because I'm watching Stranger Things last season right now, but I just couldn't help but think about it. And there are other things in Stranger Things, I guess, that remind me of Hey Arnold, but I won't go down that rabbit hole right now. Other things I liked about it, I really liked all the different names that Helga gives Arnold in this episode. And I want to read them out as if they're the title of the show, if that's cool with y'all.
Please.
So we got,
if you weren't, I was going to. So yeah, you go for it.
We got a few, and I wonder if we can have a unanimous vote maybe on the best alternate take of the title. So we got, "Hey Archibald." We got, "Hey Arliss." We got, "Hey Oswald." We got two more, sorry. Then we got, "Hey Ambrose." And then lastly, "Hey Andrew." So those are quite a few names. I just liked the bit of her saying a different name similar to Arnold every single time. We had Archibald, Arliss, Oswald, Ambrose, and Andrew. My vote, I guess, is probably on Archibald, though Oswald being so far from Arnold is pretty funny.
I was going to go Oswald. They're all good. Oswald is where my soul gravitates.
I think Ambrose was my favorite in the episode, but I think I liked the way you said, "Hey Oswald," the most. So I'm going to go with that one for the name of the show.
Cool. Yeah, and let's go with that. And also she calls Harold Sharon, which that was pretty funny too. But yeah, just an episode where you see Arnold actually taking care of Helga, which is a once in a lifetime episode, I suppose, for this series. Tucking her in and reading to her and literally feeding her at lunch at school, and just all the other kids in the episode being like, "What in the hell is going on?" Gerald's like beside himself that Arnold is doing this. So pretty funny. I also think it feeds a lot into the cartoony cartoon energy that we've had from the last episode we just watched, which was, let's see, that was Helga's Locket and Sid and Germs. But yeah, a lot of cartoony energy this season so far with, I was thinking especially the angel and devil, Helga's on Helga's shoulder, which just appear not in like a dream sequence or anything, but just in straight up plot of the episode. And her saying to herself in her head, act like you've never acted before, and then hitting her head again so that she can go back to being her normal Helga self. Pretty good. But yeah, I want to hear what my bro thinks and you think, Cody, so I'll kick it over to you.
Yeah, for sure. I will let the ball roll past me and over to Ryan's camp. Ryan, what did you think about Helga getting beamed?
Yeah, I like this episode quite a bit. And the like main underlying theme that I took from it was the feeling of guilt and how we like deal with that. Because like Arnold obviously he feels very guilty for having hit the ball that eventually knocked out Helga. So he goes, you know, a whole day helping her out and like, yeah, he's a good friend to her for a long time because he felt responsible, I think, for having hit her in the head. Even though, like, I don't know, as I was watching the episode, I was thinking like, okay, well, maybe it's also kind of Helga's fault because she's standing in the middle of like an active baseball game. But also maybe the pitcher should see that and not throw the pitch. And like, you can assign the blame to a lot of people, but Arnold obviously felt the most, so he would like he did the good stuff of helping Helga out. But at the end, the guilt kind of gets flipped around once Helga realizes like, oh man, I kind of feel guilty if Arnold can't go to this baseball game with his buddy, so let me just pretend that I'm back to normal and then he can go do that, because I don't want to pull Arnold away from his friends if it means that he gets to spend this like that's like valuable time, but not so valuable time because you're putting up this act the whole time. So yeah, it's kind of like pretty deep in that aspect, I feel like. But also just watching this, and this is the first cartoon I've watched in a little while. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that you watch it as an adult and you're like, huh. Like just the fact that like Helga had this amnesia from getting hit by a baseball, and it's like maybe she should have gone to the hospital if it was that bad. But they're kids, so they're like, we'll just help her out and she'll be better eventually, which I guess was the case. But yeah, just the kids are, they don't always have the answers, but they're doing their best. But yeah, overall I really, really like the episode.
Yeah, really well said, Harry. You got something?
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm really glad that you brought that up because I could not stop thinking about that too. I was like, hey, Arnold, maybe like taking home this person who is literally like so concussed she doesn't remember her own name is not like the right way to care for somebody in this situation. I almost, it felt like he was like, okay, I can deal with this. I can like sweep this under the rug. It doesn't have to be this big a deal. That's obviously not what Arnold was going for, but I did kind of like reading it that way. Like he was just like, okay, I'm going to just sort of take my victim home and sweep her under the rug and maybe she'll get better and I won't have to worry about it.
Well, Arnold, of course, needs to step in. And this was a thought as they entered the Pataki household. It was just like, well, of course, Arnold needs to be there because her parents aren't home. Like, of course, they're going to be. Of course, Helga's parents are going to be emotionally and physically unavailable for her. This just makes all the sense in the world. And to your point, Ryan, a lot of good points you brought up. I'm firmly on team everybody is at fault, because when that baseball was hit, not a single person shouted heads up, not a cursory, hey, look out over there. That didn't happen. Not a single person called out to Helga. They all, guillotine, all of them.
Plus, like, yes? this is Arnold who is at bat, and he has dangerous lumber. Everybody knows that. So, like, everybody should have been watching out for it in the first place. But, yeah, real negligence on the part of all players, I think.
Yeah, callback jokes. I like that everybody likes this episode. I like it as well. I like guilt as a motif. It's a fun balance this episode strikes, where Helga is extremely fun to watch. Francesca Marie Smith is killing it as always, the what everybody else is doing, everybody else can like kind of see through the charade without putting a fine point on it. We're just like, Helga's really like, this feels like too much, right, everybody? But because Arnold is, he's such a moral guy, he feels that guilt. It's, we've had 4.5 seasons of him up to this point. We know that he's like, hey guys, sorry, like this is my fault. He's just got that tunnel vision where he cannot consider for a moment that this might be fabricated because he knows what he did and he's locked into that. And so the fact that like all of that balance is what this episode hinges on. And I was fine buying into that. I think that all worked pretty well. Arnold is again at peak himbo this episode, much like he was during Helga's Locket. We're in a fascinating phase of peak himbo Arnold, which stay tuned for that, I guess. Also stay tuned. I decided that I would, I don't know if this will be like a formal thing, but I'm starting to notice things that feel very inherent to season 5. Not necessarily always like grand things, but just the fact that this time around, Helga is giving one of her patented Helga Pataki monologues, and it gets interrupted by something that isn't brainy. It gets interrupted by a baseball hitting her in the head. And I mean, if it's Home Alone 2 logic. So like she gets hit in the head really hard, but like she doesn't get seriously concussed or die or anything like that. She just like, you know, has birdies swimming around her head for half a day and then she's fine again. But like all of that is to say that the fact that one of her sacred monologues was interrupted, that just a baseball hitting her, undercutting all that, was really kind of surprising and very fun. I keep using the word fun, but I feel like this is a very fun episode. I had quite a good time with it.
I really like something else that Ryan brought up, which is that I think it's important that we return to this main theme of Helga's crush on Arnold every now and then, which is that it is sort of like, I don't know, it's weird to call it redemptive because I don't know that Helga necessarily needs redeeming, but it is sort of pure, right, in the sense that she does actually want what's best for Arnold, even outside of herself, right? Like, I think that she has to reach this point in the episode where she actually feels guilty because she's impugning on Arnold's life and she is taking him away from what he actually wants to do. And like, that kind of shows that like, she is a good person, right? And that she actually does legitimately care about Arnold and wants Arnold to legitimately care about her, which is itself also progress, right? I think that like, there is this sense that she is coming to have a truer sort of love for Arnold in that she appreciates actual like characteristics of who he is and what he does for other people, which she always has, right? But now she's realizing that like she has to, or she loves that regardless of his personal relationship to her, right? He's not something for her to possess necessarily the way that she sort of fetishized him in the past, but he is a person that she can love at a distance as well. I also love, Cody, that you brought up the point that it is very, very like Arnold that he would have this like wild sense of responsibility that he has to care for her until she gets well. And like, to be fair, she does manipulate him into that. But on the other hand, like, you gotta like, it's so funny the way that the rest of the students of PS-118 react, because it's like they just wash their hands of it almost immediately, where they're like, well, we know that like this is a silly thing Arnold is doing, but also like good luck talking Arnold out of it, right? And so they all just sort of like immediately react to it as if like, yeah, of course you feel that way, Arnold, fine, whatever, like let's just move on. I thought that was like a good almost like episode in joke, right? Where it's just like, well, we know these characters so well that we know that there's no way that we're gonna talk him out of this. I do, you brought up that like the rest of PS-118 can see through this. I would have loved to have seen a little bit more of that, right? I would have loved to have seen like Phoebe trying to help Helga or something and Helga having to be like, no, like piss off, Phoebe, or whatever. But this episode's pretty packed for content as it is, so I understand why they didn't do that, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And one of the individuals, because I thinking about it, if you remove a few interactions, it might be harder for the episode to have sold the like everybody else not buying into it, or like everybody else caring. Not that they like care a lot, like you said, they wash their hands of it pretty quickly. I guess one thing I didn't expect going back, because I vaguely remembered this episode, Rhonda has sort of like a consistent background presence, and I liked it for a couple different reasons. Like, we don't see, even in the Rhonda specific episodes, our last episode with her, literally she shares a lot of scenes with Arnold, and there's like that pairing, like they have a lot of conversations. That's the main thrust of that episode. But I don't know, seeing her and Helga competing, not like directly competing for attention, but just like that was one of the interactions one of the people they chose to have those interactions with. And also Ron, mostly this is just like a brain blast for me thinking back to like time at a grade school where like you would have friends and like whether they may not have been like your best friends, but like you have a class with somebody and like they're your friend for that class because like that's the one class you have with them that semester, whatever the thing. Just like Rhonda calling Arnold her geography buddy, that was such a weird, like, I don't know, like weirdly sweet and like kind of okay. I feel like we're shoehorning in like weird weird like social drama to like raise the tension of this somewhat, but it's like I don't know, I relatively on board with it. They got to get it from somewhere. That was just like a really, really little thing that I wasn't expecting to be peppered into this episode, but for as much like low effort, high reward, I think, as far as like making the Helga scheme, you know, work in the sort of iffy tightrope way that it did.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's a nice way to underline in the show Arnold's like level of coolness at the school, with Rhonda being like, hey, no, back off, that's my geography buddy, like that's my boy in this class. And even if they're not pals that hang out all the time, she's got this high level of cool status or what have you. She's the rich girl at the school. So I don't know, that's kind of nice to just highlight that as far as Arnold's characterization in this episode really quickly.
Yeah. It also sort of highlights that this episode is a little bit also about possession, right? Where like Helga wants to be the sole recipient of Arnold's attention and kindness. And then she realizes that doing that would sort of like stop him from being the Arnold that she knows and loves, right? But I also noticed that there was like a little bit of like weird possessive tension between she and Rhonda throughout this episode. Did you notice, for instance, I think even the wiki said this, that Arnold opens his umbrella for Rhonda at the beginning of this episode, which was like the original inciting incident between Helga and Arnold. Right. So that might have been a big part of why Helga like why her wheels got started spinning, because that would have bothered me, you know? It's like that was our thing.
That's true. Also sports, what was it? Arnold was, he was carrying, helping Harold carry his sack of basketballs.
They were kickballs, weren't they?
Or kickballs, yeah. Doesn't matter. Sorry, I'm thinking about basketball all the time. Sue me. But also the Chekhov's old timers baseball game that gets brought up at the beginning of the episode, and that's the whole thing at the end. It's just like Helga's like, oh no, dearest me, I'm making my dearly beloved miss him seeing Mickey Kaline, his number one most favoritist dude. And I was like, hey, that's a tough situation. If I have the opportunity to see Mickey Kaline in an old timers game, sorry, buddy of mine who I just concussed, you know, have your hungover mother pick you up from school. So I got a baseball game to go to. Sorry, I'm an athlete. What can you do? Emily knows what I'm talking about. She's an athlete too.
Yeah. Ryan, my brother, though, more so. And I was going to ask him to tell us what it's called, that the type of hit that Arnold has that hits Helga. Is it not a line drive? Is it a humdinger? What's the proper baseball term there? And then I think, Ryan, you had something else to say.
Yeah, no, I can answer that first, though. So I did actually write a note when I saw Arnold hit the ball, or a couple notes. One, he's a lefty, and he actually hit it to left field, which is very impressive. For a left-handed hitter. Two, it looks like it's a line drive off of his bat. And if that's the case, like Helga... like, it makes sense Helga would have got knocked out from that, because that thing's probably flying off at, like, 80 miles an hour, or their kids, maybe, like, 70 miles an hour. But, like, you eventually see that it's a pop-up. Like, he doesn't just bean her with it, which is funny because that's the name of the episode. Like, it just kind of bloops onto her head. So maybe I would have called it blooped, like the episode title. But
oh yeah,
yeah, it looks like a line drive. It's actually a pop up,
a pop fly actually, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, pop fly. Would that actually knock out somebody, even a kid? Like, I don't think so. And actually, I played baseball growing up, and there was this one time where a kid hit a pop fly to right field, and the kid in right field wasn't the greatest athlete, but he got right under the ball. Yeah, it's right field. But he got right under the ball, perfect positioning, has his glove up, and the ball just plunks him on his head, and he just goes and picks it up off the ground and throws it to second base. And it's just like, yeah, that's kind of what would normally happen. But this is a cartoon, so you have to exaggerate it. So I get that. And then the other point I wanted to make is Mickey Kaline, I think, is just a mashup between Mickey Mantle and Al Kaline, who are both
absolutely
famous baseball players. So I just liked that. They kind of were like, what's a good name for a, you know, who could be a legend baseball player? And they were like, I don't know, we'll go with Mickey Kaline because that sounds right. So I like that they did that.
Yeah, it's so good. And my hope is that those two, like those baseball players, are people that, like, the people behind the show grew up idolizing. And so I hope that those names are iconic in their own right. Like Mickey Mantle, the most famous Mickey in baseball, and Kaline, Al Kaline, probably the most famous. So I don't know. Like, it makes sense for a lot of reasons, but I hope it was just like, Steve Vixton. I just, my beloved Al Kaline, please let his name be part of the lore of Hey Arnold. I don't know, maybe or maybe not. It's all gravy. But speaking of gravy, I have no segue to go off of gravy. Gravy, part of leftovers. Speaking of leftovers, is there anything left over that we need to hash out with regards to this episode? Threads we didn't get to, shout outs, Oswald, anything of the sort?
Shout outs to Cody because he was right. I looked it up. Those were basketballs, not kickballs. So Cody is vindicated. I was incorrect. Apologies. Shout outs to Miriam. I found that the Miriam scene with Helga and Miriam in Helga's room was really, really funny, as most Miriam scenes are, where she is just so sort of oblivious to everything that's going on and just sort of, you know, like ditzing her way through life and just happy that her daughter's feeling good again. Great stuff there.
My shout outs have got to go to Rhino Suey for that awesome sports corner with Rhino segment. We got to have you on Soup Kids more just to break down all of the sports things that happen in the series, especially the baseball knowledge. And then also shout out to your big lesson, your big takeaway from the series Hey Arnold being, I guess, don't flush the toilet when someone's in the shower.
It's good advice. No, that's good advice.
No, as a kid, like, no joke, anytime anyone in the house was in the shower, I was like, okay, I can't go to the bathroom right now. Or if I was in the shower, it was like, oh my gosh, I hope nobody goes to the bathroom right now. But then I think I asked our parents, Emily, and they were like, no, that's like old plumbing. It can happen. You can go to the bathroom or shower whenever you need to. And I was like, oh, okay. But I don't know. I was like 4 years old when that episode, like, I watched that. Anyway, last shout out, because I know you guys have mentioned it on past podcasts, but backyard sports baseball. Like, anytime there's baseball in a Hey Arnold episode, like, it reminds me of that. And those video games were fantastic. And I wish they, like, remade them today. They probably wouldn't have the same magic as they did, you know, 20 years ago, but like, those games were awesome.
I'm just going to jump right in. Those games are still magical. I definitely had one or two periods over early quarantine where I was loading up backyard baseball. What was it? 2003, whatever the good version is. The one that had Brad Radke in it. Not that he made it spectacular. He was a twin and he was pretty cool. But just if you're looking that up, that is the version that I played a lot of. I need to go fire up that game. I need to boot it up. I need to race Pete Wheeler around the base paths and lose because he's the fastest human being alive. So do not go anywhere. We'll be back in a jiffy. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 87B up next, and that episode is called Old Iron Man. Original air date, January 12, 2001. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Grandpa Phil and his old friend Jimmy Kafka have been feuding for quite some time as their friendship fell apart years ago. However, they still attempt to compete with one another as they each believe they are the better individual. Though when both men decide to enter the extremely dangerous Old Iron Man triathlon, Arnold attempts to put an end to their feud as he does not believe they should risk their lives over something so trivial. A special Wikipedia note for this episode, guest star voicing Jimmy Kafka is Richard Mulligan. I'm editorializing this a little bit, but from what I can tell, Mulligan built up quite a number of credits in both TV and film alike over the course of his career. And this episode of Hey Arnold is actually his final performance before his death 4 months before the episode's release. So shout outs to Mr. Mulligan. Rest in peace. A couple other shout outs for this episode. The folks that made it possible, Frank Weiss directed this one as well, and Jonathan Greenberg got the writing credit. I'd love to hear what y'all think about this one. Let's start with Emily this time. Emily, what did you think about these old iron men?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for asking, Cody. I'm glad we have Rhino Suey on this one to talk some more sports. And me and Rhino definitely played a lot of games as kids. And in fierce, you know, one-on-one competitions around the house or the backyard or wherever. I wrote down a whole list of all the ones I could remember, which I don't have to get into right this minute, but maybe later when we can chat more. And but as far as the episode goes, I think Jimmy Kafka, who is Grandpa's best friend, who he hates, LOL, is a really good character. I like the voice actor. I like how he's drawn up. And I think he's a great character to interact with Grandpa's character. And yeah, this episode is just really funny, and they go to extremes to show what either of these old Iron Men will do to beat each other in their longstanding like grudge against beating the other person in whichever race or competition or sport, whatever they're doing. And Grandpa at the very beginning telling Arnold that, well, like, why do you hate your best friend? Or like, he's coming over to visit you. What's going on? And Grandpa's going, he just can't admit that I'm better than him at everything. And Arnold's like, oh, really, Grandpa? At everything. And Grandpa's like, yeah, Arnold, freaking everything. and then as soon as Jimmy comes over, they're all like peas and carrots. But then they get into a heated discussion not very shortly thereafter. And Grandpa's read of going, it was a swimming contest, Jimmy. A swimming contest. Just, I can't read those lines like him. You just have to watch the episode. But Grandpa's amazing and the best ever. And so is his voice actor, Dan. So, yeah, this episode is just super funny. And the contest in and of itself, it's like presented by Easy Lax, the Easy Lax Old Iron Man competition. The contest which proves who is this year's all-time best old man. Just really good stuff. That's in the ad that they both see when they're fighting in the boarding house. The competition, the fact that it involves a 10-mile run, a 20-mile bike ride, and an 8-mile swim through man-eating shark-infested waters. It's like so funny. Jimmy's got going to all, both him and Grandpa are going to all lengths to prepare for this unbelievably challenging competition. Jimmy's got a fridge strapped to his back at one point. I can't even get through reading my notes because this episode is very funny. Grandpa's pouring water out from Arnold's pet fish bowl in Arnold's bedroom, like chugging little styrofoam cups of water as he's exercising all over the place. They finally make it to the competition after all of their nearly killing themselves over just like getting ready and prepared for this competition. But so we get to the competition and we see a sign that says, "Good luck, old men," right before we see a truck that says "Sharks Are Us" pouring the whole truck full of sharks into the water. It's like it just goes and goes and goes, and the characters playing round the clock against each other in the funniest of ways, the most outrageous ways. I love it so much. And I guess, of course, you love it because if you love Grandpa and it's a grandpa-centric episode, you're probably going to have some fun watching it. But yeah, I'm excited to hear what everyone else thinks. I wrote down some other stuff, but yeah, it's a really, really fun episode of the series. I loved it. I hope to rewatch it again soon.
Me as well. Not to tip my hand a little too far. Let's keep going around the horn here. Co-host and shark enthusiast Harry Mackin, what did you think about this
episode? Major shark enthusiast. Although pertinent to pursuant to our last episode, I used to watch Shark Week every single year, and every single year it would scare the hell out of me to the point where I couldn't take baths because I was afraid there was going to be a shark in the bathtub. I don't know. Listen, you were a little kid. I'm not surprised Emily loved this episode. I also loved this episode. It's so good, in fact, that I kind of like retroactively wish that Jimmy Kafka would have been a like more major character. He was a character. Like he was mentioned a bunch of times constantly throughout the series. But I think he was only ever seen once before and only in flashback. I kind of almost wish that like some of the earlier grandpa rivalries would have featured Jimmy Kafka, right? Because I think that they have such a great chemistry. And in fact, like maybe my favorite scene of this entire episode is just when they make their drowning competition when they both realize they're not going to make it through the swimming contest, and they challenge each other to see who's going to drown first. Super funny, and also like a long scene where there aren't any kids at all, right? Like it's just Grandpa and Jimmy Kafka, and I really, really liked that scene. I think that like just giving Grandpa a rival to play off of works really well here. It also it creates the dynamic that Arnold has with Grandpa really well, which is, again, we've talked about it before, but like I really think it's an unusual one for a kid show, and one that's kind of refreshing, where like Arnold has to be this sort of like voice of reason, or this sort of like adult in the room that has to sort of like say reasonable things. And like he doesn't come off as a scold, he comes off as like absolutely correct. And it must be really fun for kids to like see themselves in that POV character. And it also like it does a really good job of just sort of like making Grandpa so fun and so dynamic that he's like, he has to like, this kid is trying to get him to not kill himself, and he's just not buying it whatsoever, right? Like it just makes for such a fun dynamic that just creates such a just a funny episode. And like this episode moves so fast, we go to so many different places, right? Like it's so fun to watch the ever escalating competition between Steely Phil and Jimmy, even though we know that they both have hearts of gold and they both love each other dearly. It's such a funny and great episode about friendship, right? And about how like they bring out the best in each other while they're bringing out the worst in each other in ways that really only best friends kind of can. I really love this episode, and it's so nice to like this late in the game get like a really great grandpa episode, right? Like I hope, and I don't think it's our final big featured grandpa episode, but it's really great that like we're still playing in such like the hits territory, right? Like it's like Hey Arnold is not slowing down at all here. I think episodes like this show me.
Yeah, Craig and friends are willing to play in shark-infested waters. Even in season 5, that in the late stages of their television life, metaphors. Ryan, over to you. What did you think about this episode?
Yeah, this was another one I liked quite a bit. What I took from it was a lot like what Harry said, like, it's friendly competition. The old men are like, I don't know, it's good in a way because I'm sure they're making each other better at everything they compete in. But at the same time, it gets out of hand because they're risking their lives to just beat each other. And they have arguments over who wins what and everything. And it actually all stems from the first day they ever met when they raced tricycles. So it's not like this is something that came up 20 years after they met, like there was some argument they got into. It was day one, they raced tricycles and they have an argument over where the finish line was, because if the finish line was at, I forget what they say, but like if it was earlier, Grandpa would have won. And if it was later, Jimmy would have won. So like even from day one, they've been friends, but they've also been enemies. So that dynamic is just really interesting. And just piggybacking off of what Emily said, it's a 10-mile run, 20-mile bike ride, an 8-mile swim, which, and there's sharks, not to mention. Like, there's a lot of stuff wrong with that. And I, again, it's just like the absurdity of cartoons, and I love it because normally in a triathlon, you'd swim first because you don't want people to drown at the end of the race. And it's an 8-mile swim, which is like crazy long. I'm pretty sure like a normal Ironman is 3, and it's at the beginning and there's not sharks. So yeah, I just want to know like how some like health and safety agency from the government didn't come in and shut this thing down, because like everyone should have died if this race actually took place. But yeah, obviously the end is very sweet because they, you know, they help each other out to get to the finish line. Props to Arnold for like waiting at the beach until it got dark out to make sure they got back. But again, it's like, Arnold, maybe, you know, call somebody to check on the old guys because they're still not done yet. So, yeah, just a crazy episode, one that I really, really enjoyed watching. And yeah, both old guys are just super tough. And one quick mention, I can't remember the name of the guy, but they mentioned there's some old health fitness guru also in the race. And I thought he looked just like Jay Leno. So that was one of my notes I wrote down. Go look him up.
He does look just like Jay Leno. You're totally spot on.
But yeah, that was it. That's all I got to say. I love the episode.
Nice. Good stuff, Ryan. Good stuff, everybody. Big fan of this episode. Unsurprising. No, I hated this episode. I'm going to counter all of y'all. You're wrong. No, this episode rules like a lot. One of my favorites that I think we've watched recently, and just not for any like big galaxy brain reasons. It is, as I think everybody's been saying, it's playing the hits. First and foremost, love that even this late in his life, Grandpa is speaking his truth. He's as competitive as ever. Somebody wronged him in a race when he was a kid. It was like, nah, man, I won that race. We're not friends. We're never going to be friends because I will not abide this competitive slander. Good for you, man. That's
hell yeah. Honestly,
I yearn to be as competitively thriving as Phil in my old age. I will avoid raspberries though, because that seems like the smart thing to do. The show is teaching me. Lot of great gags, like so many great gags, top to bottom. And there are things that everybody's been saying, but like, especially when we get into the second half of the episode, they're doing the training montages. I realized as I was going through my notes, a lot of the things that are very funny deal with, elderly gentlemen getting hurt, which fair. Don't judge me too cruelly. That's what the episode is. And it's very funny, but like the Easy Lax thing, the Sharks Are Us thing, the old Jay Leno health guru guy is one of my favorite bits of the entire series. I realized as soon as I saw it,
it's very, very funny.
The what you think is going to be Chekhov's health guru ringer participant, old man, Iron Man guy. And they're talking in the stands just like, oh, I bet you he's going to win. Horn sounds, dude immediately gets a stroke. It's so funny. It's so extremely funny. Again, one of my favorite bits of the series, I decided as I was watching, one of the best of the series so far. And I know we've watched a lot of it up to this point, so that really says something. But the season five twisty turnies as well. I mean, the big one, it's not even that much of a big one. It's already been said, but the we've already gone through the order of operations of why this particular Iron Man competition, courtesy of Ryan, is faulty. As I was listening to it, just like, okay, whatever it was, 10 miles running. Okay, yeah, like if I got, you know, a good amount of sleep the night before, I can maybe do that. 20 miles on a bike, yeah, I mean, if it was mostly downhill, I think I could probably make that. We're like really, really downhill, like I don't have to pedal. So like, I can make that happen. 8 miles in man-eating shark-infested waters, I would perish. And I feel like a pre-season five Harold would have just left it at the obscene, like out-of-order distances that these people would have had to travel. But just throwing the sharks into the mix to really sell or really hammer home, it's like, this is a ridiculous crusade that these gentlemen are embarking upon. Don't read into this too much. I think the show is trying to tell us that being that competitive is really silly. I softly disagree with that. I think being competitive is very cool and good. I'm open to reconsider to amendments to that viewpoint, but also I'm not. But a really fun episode. It is, again, especially once they get into their groove with pacing and bits and everything else within the latter half of the episode. I think it's I don't know, maybe it's recency bias, but I feel like it's some of the finest, especially comedic work that the show has ever put forth.
Yeah, and we've talked about this a little bit before, so it's a little bit reiterating, but you did bring up that like Grandpa's so competitive. One thing I really love and have always loved about Grandpa that I think is like really on great display here is that I love that they really subvert the old wise man trope, right? But even more than that, they don't even really think it's a problem that Grandpa is unapologetically who he is, right? And I really love that. I guess both he and Pookie, right, are like that, right? It's just like Grandpa is he's a ridiculous sort of silly, ridiculously competitive old man, and that gets him into trouble all the time, and he should know better by now, but also it's totally all right that he doesn't know better, right? Like, I think that there's something really like anti-finger wagging, right, and descriptive rather than prescriptive about that, that makes it really fun. And especially the fact that, like, despite all of that, and despite his quote-unquote character flaws and personality quirks, like Arnold looks up to him as much and loves him as much as if he was the sort of like more traditional guardian, right? And it's even never it's never implied that like Grandpa is worse at being a guardian because of how silly he is, right? Like that's never said. Like, he's a great grandpa to Arnold, right? Like, that's kind of one of the big ideas of the entire show, especially in like episodes like The Journal. And it's super exciting to me and like fun and heartwarming that like all of those things are allowed to coexist, right? Like, he is allowed to be a great grandpa, a great mentor, a great person, and also a ridiculous person with huge like quirks and things that he has never learned, even though they're going to get him in trouble over and over and over again forever. Maybe just because that's how I want to be, right? I want to be an old man who has learned nothing from life, but everybody still kind of likes him anyway.
Yeah, I also like the fact that it's Grandpa as a character is absurd, but yet there's that realism sprinkled in with, well, some people just don't learn certain things, or some people are just going to hold grudges. Grandpa's like grudge master general over here in this show. I wanted to talk a little bit about the other competitions that these two, Jimmy and Grandpa, get into before they're even at the old Iron Man competition. And Rhino, I wondered if you wanted to jump in on any of these, our own history of playing games as kids and competing one-on-one in things. But I wrote down all the things we've done. But anyway, to back up, the things that Grandpa and Jimmy start out at doing in a competitive way at Sunset Arms Boarding House is they're catching peas off of FDR's portrait, which is for some reason up in the living room. And funny to see that likeness. their arm wrestling, and each time too, Arnold's just walking by or like sitting there with his arms crossed and shaking his head. Like the Arnold reacts is very funny, I think, too, in each of those scenes. We see them playing Battleship, and we also see them wrestling. But so all of those are great things, and some of those were things we did, Rhino, as kids. I wrote down a bunch, though, and I wonder if you have any stories you'd want to jump in on. But we played a bunch of sports in the house, where we had like soft plush like soccer balls that we'd kick around in the entrance of the house. We'd play baseball in the house with also like a soft plush ball. We had soccer boppers, which I thought of because specifically the rivalry in this episode reminded me of soccer boppers, and I should publicly apologize for how hard I went against you with those like inflatable punching bags. But being that, you know, I was so much more athletic than you and natural in all of the games, and you were 5.5 years younger than me. We had, what else? We had all the classic sports that I don't even need to name, but other things like wiffle ball, frisbee, tennis. We had a whole thing going with our dad, if you want to jump in on that. We had all this extreme sports types of things. And then being that we're a Wisconsin-based family, we are very good at bar types of games. So we got your ping pongs, your darts, your pool, your air hockey, your foosball. And then, yeah, stuff like Battleship and all the classic board games and stuff, and the PC games like Backyard Sports you mentioned. Anyway, if you want to jump in at any point,
yeah,
steal this mic from me.
Yeah, I honestly, yeah, I forgot a lot of those, but you mentioning them has brought back a lot of memories. Like, yeah, sock'em boppers. What I remember is, I'm sure we had those. I don't really remember those because, again, I would have been like 5 years old at the time. So I don't remember a lot from that age. But I do remember Dad got us like Everlast boxing gloves. Like, I don't know if they were regulation boxing gloves, but they were like, they looked like boxing gloves. And we would go into the middle hallway and like box each other, and like there was no holding back. And I had this signature move called the tornado, where I would hold my arms out straight out in like a T position, and I would spin as fast as I could, because Emily's like, you know, 10 or 11, I'm 5 or 6 years old. Like, she has the height advantage, she has the reach advantage, her punches
the
hit harder.
The athletic advantage.
I was at a severe disadvantage fighting you, so I had to come up with something that would throw you off your game. So I was like, all right, maybe if I just spin really fast, like, I can
kind
knock
of a
her
Crash
down.
Bandicoot style technique.
Yes, exactly. But shooting basketball, playing tennis, yeah, all that stuff. The memories are flooding back, but unfortunately, I probably was on the worst end of most of those, seeing that I was the little brother, but all in good fun. And yeah, this episode reminded me of that too. Absolutely.
I just wanted to make you the best athlete you could be, you know?
True.
I'm glad you brought up the boxing gloves, though, like the kids' version of boxing gloves. I definitely forgot about that. And the spin move, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Besides, as this episode showed us, those competitions were all mere prelude, right? The ones that really matter are going to be in 50 years when you guys are competing. That's when it's really going to count for something, when you're doing the old man Iron Man or the old man / woman Iron Man.
You just have to hope they reverse the order of the run, bike, and swim race.
They're still going to include the Sharks, though. The Sharks still will be present, but you'll be at full sort of athletic prime because you're just getting started, so you'll be able to outswim them easy.
Yeah, the Sharks, unfortunately, are a mandatory part of the competition.
Yeah, it's really messed up that they made those mandatory in all Iron Man, old Iron Man competitions going forward, but dems the rules. Who am I? And if those are the rules, I mean, we gotta strive to be our Jimmy Kafka-y and Grandpa Philly best, and take no prisoners. Even though they didn't, like, they very explicitly did not win. Like, it can't, it's already been mentioned, but like, the fact the fact that they like barely finished, and it wasn't until the sun went down. That's another like nice, like season five-ism almost, where it's not like who can be the best out of all of the old men. It's just who can be the best out of these two old men. Who can be the best in, you know, the Sui household, or any household across this blue marble of ours. What is going on? Anybody have anything else they want to talk about with regards to this episode? Any other fun war stories from when you were kids? Harry, did you and Charlie have any like big competitions where you were beating up on each other with sock and boppers? Anything like that?
I mean, I always wanted to get sock and boppers and begged my parents. Do you remember the, I think you said in the chat, but that more fun than a pillow fight, that like ad that
I remember
had.
That jingle like it was yesterday,
right?
Yeah.
And so, but for whatever reason, my parents were not super down with me getting basically boxing gloves and punching my 4 years younger sister in the face with them many times. Though we did have like pillow fight battles frequently, and Charlie had a signature move she called the atomic knee drop, which is where I think my dad called it the atomic knee drop. She did, but she would just jump up in the air and like bring both of her knees down on you, which sounds like it would actually hospitalize somebody. I mean, she was like, I don't know, 30 pounds at the time, so could have been worse. But so I still remember the atomic knee drop for sure. You already mentioned my one big shout out, but I will say that it's extremely funny that when Phil and Kafka basically like wash up on the beach in the middle of the night, sputtering and gasping for air, having barely made it after having to work together to be one complete person to finish the race. The first thing that happens is that Grandpa looks up, choking and sputtering to Arnold and says, "Did we win?" And it's like they took down the like bleachers and stuff. Nobody else is there. So I thought that was a really funny joke as well.
Shout out to, I think, sometime around that part of the episode as well, where they're admitting the fact that they're like gonna die if they don't help each other out, and they're saying all these euphemisms for dying. And Grandpa throws out the last tango in Paris, and Jimmy's like, "What?" And he's like, "Well, you had said one, and then I didn't want to not have another one to say, and you know, made it a competition again." But I think that would be a great euphemism for dying. And then shout out also to Jimmy's line at the boarding house when he starts to argue back with Grandpa and goes, "You know what your problem is? Your mind's going, and you just can't admit I'm a better athlete than you." And I like the way he said it, and I think he's a good character. Also, shout out to the reused Stars animation, which we've seen quite a few times, but it is great. And I believe Tuck Tucker did that. And then the red sunset, beautiful red and orange sunset across the water to end the episode. Really great stuff. I love this one.
Hell yeah. Heck yeah. Booyah. I don't know what more is there. This episode rules. Our time here with Ryan has also been amazing. Ryan, thank you so much again for being here today. A couple quick questions. Where can people find you if you want to be found? Socials, things like that. And also, is there anything that you would like to plug for the fine folks that may be listening? The floor is yours.
Nothing to plug. I think most of my social media is at Chop Suey. So, ha, Emily, I got that handle from you. Or I guess you just never took it. But yeah, at Chop Suey on Twitter and Instagram. And I think that's it. But yeah, nothing to plug. Just happy to be part of the conversation with you guys.
Likewise. Sorry, I was cackling on mute because Emily brought that up before you joined the episode.
She absolutely did. Yeah, I wish that we would have recorded it now. Oh my god.
Oh, extremely good.
I probably used it in AIM screen name way back when. Oh, so yeah. Then I cleared the runway for all the other socials for my
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice of you, really. You laid the groundwork.
Yeah, well, hey, why not all of us give shout-outs to our now-defunct AIM screen names? I was Boston Cody and CNarvy21 on various occasions. What were y'all?
I don't think I had an AIM, but weirdly, I remember that you were Boston Cody, even though we didn't aim.
Oh, that's
back
unusual.
In the day, but
we grew up in different cities and didn't know each
true.
Other.
And you didn't grow up in Boston, man. That was just sort of, you were a big fan of the Red Sox, right?
Everybody knew that about me.
So
there
you
go. I don't know what the question is. Yeah. So it makes sense.
Because the Cody_BH is Boston hat, yes?
Actually, ooh, it is not.
Oh, I forget this every time.
Oh, I don't
it's
actually
butthole.
Know if, it's been a joke that it's butthole, and I don't know if I'm going to give the real one now. We'll go with butthole. I like
Beach
Cody
House.
Underscore butthole.
Greatest band of all time.
It is a great band.
I love that it means Beach House. And my screen name was Chatty Cheesehead with a Z. No S's. Cheese spelled the wrong way, but C-H-Z. Chatty Cheesehead.
Cheesehead is spelled with a Z. You knew, even back then.
Even
you were
then,
ready.
You had to. It was the 90s. You had to do it. And I'd like to think that Chop Suey was somewhere in my away message or something, but very much was our father's nickname when he was growing up, and was more so, I feel, handed down to the son than from father to son. But I can still, I mean, when I say tell people how to pronounce my last name, I still use the line, it's Suey like Chop Suey. And we probably both said that 100 billion times in our lives.
Yep, absolutely. Every time.
Emily will inherit the family estate. Ryan will just inherit the nickname. It's an even trade, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ryan, did we get your screen name? Or did you have, years are really messing with me right now. Were you alive in the time of AIM? You obviously were.
I never had an AIM, but I remember sitting at the computer next to Emily while she AIMed her friends, thinking it was so cool, but I did not ever have one. No.
Dang. Well, sorry to hear that. You really missed out on quite a time. But on the flip side, for those of you listening to this, you did not miss out on quite a time, because we had quite a time. And we just want to say thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. And that's kids spelled with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvison, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey. And thank you very much, Rhino, for joining us, Chop Suey Jr.
Yep. It's been a pleasure, guys.
Well, this is it. The end of the episode. The grand finale. The last tango in Paris.